All right, you guys, welcome to the show. It's my show, the Scott Horton Show. It's just on the line with Justin Raimondo from antiwar.com talking about this new Mossad, newly released Mossad report on Iran's nuclear program. Did you see this? Did you hear about this? It's all the big news today. Well, yesterday and today. Is the release of a whole new batch of spy files. No WikiLeaks involved this time, I don't think. Apparently somebody, and I don't know who and for exactly what purposes, maybe it still remains to be seen. Maybe they're waiting till day three when they come out with the big story that's going to help this or that interest. I have no idea. All I know is somebody leaked apparently a whole hell of a lot of South African intelligence files, which includes all kinds of communications and reports and stories and cooperation and all kinds of things that involve Israel, involve the United States, well, and Palestine for that matter, we'll get to that, the United States and Britain and, of course, our relationship with Iran and all kinds of stuff. Relationship. So, big news. Now, well, I'll get to that in just a sec. That's what we were talking about, the Iranian nuclear program and what's in that Mossad report and et cetera like that. Okay, so, ain't that interesting? I like new Mossad reports. In fact, we got, I better not forget that. Draw a big circle so that I don't lose my brain. Listen, here's some things that you need to know. Antiwar.com is where I'm the opinion editor, sorta, although I'm mostly laid off. I still am the opinion editor there. Well, I guess I got Matt's job basically for kinda. Anyway, antiwar.com, that's where we keep all the bad news, and it's fun drive time there right now. And it's a tough one. I know it's a tough one economically speaking, and I know that people are just sick and tired of war. I mean, antiwar.com, it's the same thing every day. They're lying into war, and we're trying to expose them day in, day out, same stuff. And I know people get tired of it. They move on with their life. They can't afford to spend time being a foreign policy head no more, whatever. I don't know. But for those of you who value it, it ain't free to put together. And it is very cheap. I mean, for crying out loud, as far as activist bang for your buck, I don't think you could get much better than antiwar.com. But they're having a real hard time with the fund drive right now. And they got matching funds. So if you give $100, they got somebody else who's promised to match your $100. If you got $1,000, they've got somebody who's promised to match your $1,000. So tell them Scott sent you. Go and donate, help support antiwar.com. You got Jason Ditz doing the news. You got Justin Raimondo criticizing the news. And you got Margaret and Eric and Jason, all three of those, all day long harvesting all the most important news in the world for you to find there. And then I don't really do all the harvesting, but I give the thumbs up and the thumbs down on the views and try to pick out good viewpoints for you to look at there in the opinion columns. So anyway, antiwar.com, go and support it, would you? It's their fun drive, antiwar.com/donate. Maybe you're one of those people who owns capital and you have so much money you're not sure what to invest it in. How about peace? Antiwar.com. All right, next big announcement type thing is that tonight is the premiere episode of my new show with Jeffrey Tucker. Ain't that something? I got a show with Jeffrey Tucker? Wow. That's cool. So he's at liberty.me, and hey, I'm on there too. And it's true. Oh, I spent so much time on the phone, I forgot to blog today's show. It's going to be great, man. Jeffrey Tucker, of course, the great Rothbardian anarchist libertarian and positive attitude holder. And me. Well, for what that's worth. I hope this works out. I hope he doesn't decide that Scott Horton is just too complainy. I might be too complainy for the man. I don't know. But we seem to get along pretty good. I'm really excited about it, man. I think it's going to be great. He's got the libertarianism beyond compare or measure or whatever, right? He's as libertarian as hell, and he knows all this stuff and has read all this stuff and is a, you know, expert on the economics, on the history, and on everything. So we got great libertarianism coming our way with Jeff. And then for me, I'm as libertarian as hell, but I just don't get into parsing those subjects all the time that much. I mean, I'm good on everything, but I'm just not necessarily, I ain't necessarily written an article about everything. Mostly I only care about the wars because, I don't know, it just seems kind of silly to care about other stuff when there's wars going on to me, you know? I don't know. But anyway, so it should be a good blend of, I hope it'll be a complimentary type of a thing there. I'm really excited about it. It's at 9 o'clock tonight Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Texas Time, at liberty.me. And in fact, I've got another link here in case you're not a member of liberty.me. I've got, where'd you go here, Mike? I know you're right here somewhere. Where'd you go? I had it here. What's that sound? Is there a mouse in here? What the hell is that? Man, what happened to it? I had an email from Mike here. And what it said was the Spreecast link. Oh, you know what? I can find it from Twitter anyway. It's on the Twitter anyway. I just paged down enough, I hope. Yeah, here we go. Spreecast.com/events/I on the Empire. You know what? This is kind of a difficult one to, I don't know. You got your pen ready? It's, you can check out my Twitter feed and find the link there. Or it's Spreecast, you know, like the candy? Spreecast.com/events/I on the Empire. And there's hyphens in between all of those. I on the Empire. And then another hyphen, the number one, and then two more hyphens, and then the number two. Spreecast.com/events/I on the Empire with hyphens in them all. Then after Empire, there's another hyphen and a one, and then two more hyphens, and then a two. That's it. Or you just go to liberty.me and click on, you know, whatever it is. You'll find it. I on the Empire. That's the name of the new show. For some reason, we got Sauron's eye, even though that's the eye of the Empire, and this is the our eye on the Empire, so I guess of and on kind of rhyme. Same difference. I don't care. What do I care? I like the Lord of the Rings, man. You know what they should have is like, what's his name? Saruman. Looking into the Palantir or something, you know? Eye on the Empire that way. Or maybe they got one of the hobbits looking into the Palantir. That's a scene, right? Let me see. Was it, who was it? Pippin? It's probably Pippin, right? Little bastard. And the Palantir. Am I spelling that right? Yeah, man. So there's a picture of Pippin looking into the Palantir. Guess that right. I spelled it wrong, but hey. Now, there you go, man. That's the graphic you want right there, dude. Is, you know, like me and Tucker, we're the hobbits, and we got our eye on the Empire. We're looking at the... I may be getting carried away. I don't know. What do you think, chat room guys? You think you should have the eye of Sauron, the giant flaming vagina in the sky? Or should it be a hobbit looking at the eye of Sauron, the giant flaming vagina in the sky? I'll let chat room guys, you decide. Okay, I don't really care. Oh, there's the drums, saving you from any more of this for this segment anyway. Let me say one more thing. I'm giving a speech on the 6th of March in New Hampshire at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum. Going to see Jeff Tucker there too. And April the 11th, Ron Paul, Glenn Greenwald, and Radley Balco are giving an FFF thing here in Austin. If you're into that, that's on April the 11th. Okay, bad news and interviews and things. Jared LaBelle coming up on the show. Stay tuned.
Hey, Al, Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at ScottHorton.org or TheWarState.com. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the monthly journal of the Future Freedom Foundation at fff.org/subscribe. Since 1989, FFF has been pushing an uncompromising moral and economic case for peace, individual liberty, and free markets. Sign up now for The Future Freedom, featuring founder and president Jacob Hornberger, as well as Sheldon Richmond, James Bovard, Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, and many more. It's just $25 a year for the print edition, $15 per year to read it online. That's fff.org/subscribe. And tell them Scott sent you.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, Scott Horton Show. Yeah, Jared LaBelle. He's at the Taxpayers United of America, and he's going to be on the show a little bit later to talk about the new project. They're sponsoring the show. Did the ad play yesterday? I might have missed it. I was out of the room some of the time. Got a new sponsor for the show. It's Taxpayers United of America. What they're doing is they're they're holding seminars or workshops how you can use FOIA to find out how fat the pensions of all your local government employees are, and then how to wage a PR war against them and take their big fat pension at your expense away. I mean, for me, I just don't know how anybody can look at the fact that the so-called public servants of America make more, far more, especially at the federal level, but even at the state and local level, they make far more than their comparative job in the private sector. Meaning off of people who are working in the private sector, who have no choice but to pay them, and are so-called public servants. They get to retire in their 40s with pensions like no company in America gives, at the expense of the rest of us. And coincidentally, they're horrible. All they do is, they kill people, they imprison them, they steal their property. And they lie about it. Occasionally, they bust a criminal or two for public relations purposes. But otherwise, what do? They send their officers out all day to harass our people and eat out their substance. That's what they do. They're our enemies. Living like kings on top of us. And so, embarrass and discredit and disempower them. You don't hardly ever hear me, I don't guess you ever will hear me picking on people who are on welfare, as in the very lowest, unemployed, uneducated, maybe crippled or sick or somehow hurt or orphaned or, you know, bad circumstances, people need welfare. I'm against that, but you don't ever hear me condemning the people who are the recipients of it. But the government employees, now those are the tax parasites, especially the cops and the judges. You have any idea how much judges make? How much their pensions are at your expense? These people just sit up there all day banging their little hammer and pretending they're God, taking people's rights away without batting an eyelash, and mostly over nonsense. So, I'm with this whole Taxpayers United of America thing, man. I want to see a gigantic kind of nationwide epidemic of stories about, would you believe what kind of money a cop makes after he retires in our town? Are you kidding me? These are our public servants, our security force, and they make money and retire as though they had created successful businesses or something. It's a scandal, man. It's huge. You know, when I was a kid, my dad would watch Tom Brokaw, and he would have this thing, the fleecing of America. Not that they ever did anything about it. The fleecing of America. How the government holds people down and rapes them and steals all their money. And, yeah, and hooks up their cronies. That's what's going on here. So I just think that's great. What a great project, man. You know, if I was some kind of you know, money-having person with think tanks and institutes and these things. That's exactly what I would hire Jared to do. I'd be like, Jared, what we need to do is workshops where we expose how much these tax parasites make, especially their pensions. Public school teachers make how much a year on their pension? Deputy sheriffs make how much a year on their pension? What? Yeah, let's get some conversations like that going on. I'm all for it. And that's the thing, man. You know, like, I'm a hardcore Bill Hicksian to a fault, too. Like, his communism, and even though he was kind of not a communist, but he kind of was, too. And his communism has, like, tainted my brain. Even though I am an individualist, libertarian capitalist, I still feel that thing. Like he says, you do a commercial, and now everything you say is suspect, man. How can I trust you? Because now you're telling me a thing, but now I don't know why you're telling me the thing you're telling me anymore. Fair enough. I understand that. And yet somehow I don't feel compromised at all having this show sponsored by the likes of Phil Giraldi's group and Jacob Hornberger's group and Jared LaBelle and his group, the guys at Robertson, Roberts Brokerage, Inc. There's absolutely no pressure on me to say anything or to refrain from saying anything. The only reason people want to sponsor this show is because they like the show. They agree with me. They come to me for, you know, most of the time anyway. And you guys all know, and I got the MP3s in the thousands to prove how much I have always hated all cops, all bureaucrats, all government employee parasites. And, I'm the furthest thing from bribed to say so. I am against all taxation in all cases. Yes, including on rich people too. Especially on them, because taxing them is what helps the government afford to exist. So I'm for all tax cuts and tax abatements against for everyone all the time. In all cases. I'm an anarchist. And a consistent one. all right. So I'm very happy that Jared LaBelle is going to be on the show. I'm very proud to be sponsored by that group. What a great group. He said he wasn't so sure when he walked in there. And then when he did, he saw the bookshelf, and it was all Ludwig von Mises and David Beto. And all right, right at home. So ain't that cool, man? Taxpayers United of America working to expose the lavish pension funds of your so-called public servants. And he's coming up on the show to talk about that great project here in just a while. Okay. Now, the music was playing. I barely got a chance to say. Ron Paul, Glenn Greenwald, and Radley Balco are all three giving a thing at the LBJ Library on the terror war and the drug war and the domestic police state and all that. Jacob Hornberger of the Future Freedom Foundation is emceeing the whole thing, and it's going to be rad. And it seems like, unless something comes up, I'll be there and see you there, too. It's at the LBJ Library here at the University of Texas in Austin. Not that I'm here at UT, but I'm in Austin. And that's April the 11th, Future Freedom Foundation. April the 11th at the LBJ Library. Greenwald, Balco, and headlining, I hope, the great Dr. Ron Paul. So that should be really great. And maybe I'll see you there. Write that down. Okay, now there's a ton of news to cover, and thank goodness hardly anybody got back to me, and I was too lazy to even send out that many invites, and so I have lots of time to cover all the new news. There's a ton of it. I don't get to start until after this coming break, which starts in about 40 seconds. Sneaker says, what's his group? The group is Taxpayers United of America, and they're real libertarians. This ain't no Dick Army Republican AstroTurf job here, man. This is the real deal. But yeah, I got tons of stuff on MEK and Iran nukes and new spy files and new NSA stories and Spencer Ackerman's series in The Guardian on the Chicago cops. Holy crap, did you already know? ISIS news. It's going to be a good one. Hang tight. Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world, all specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and you get free shipping. darrenscoffee.com. Hey, all Scott Horton here for Liberty.me, the social network and community-based publishing platform for the liberty-minded. Liberty.me combines the best of social media technology all in one place and features classes, discussions, guides, events, publishing, podcasts, and so much more. And Jeffrey Tucker and I are starting a new monthly show at Liberty.me, Eye on the Empire. It's just $4 a month if you use promo code Scott when you sign up. And hey, once you do, add me as a friend on there at scotthorton.liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. Now, I don't know how big of a deal this is on the other top-of-the-hour radio news networks. I assume it's all over the place. It's certainly all over Fox News this morning. Oh, my God. An Iranian group claims to expose, claims they have exposed, a secret heretofore unknown parallel Iranian enrichment program. And when local media tells you an Iranian group or a dissident group, what they mean, of course, is the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, which is a group of, they say former communists, but I don't know, they're just as whacked in the head as always. But they're a terrorist cult, and they are a cult in the most cultish way. Like, it's not a smear, like, calling the Branch Davidians a cult when, they're more like just a break off of the Seventh-day Adventists. I mean, they have some culty characteristics, but they lack a lot of them, too. You know, I don't know. But then again, there's Bow and T and the Heaven's Gate. Now, that's a freaking cult. Come on, guys, we all have to kill ourselves so we can catch a ride on the comet. That's the kind of cult the Mujahideen-e-Khalq is, where they steal these people's kids away and hold them hostage, where celibacy is enforced, where grown adults are treated like children, have to raise their hand for permission to speak all day, and just the worst kind of thing. There's a ton of great journalism on the history of the MEK. You know, Phil Giraldi has said on the show, back when he was in CIA training camp or whatever in the early 80s, one of the scenarios was a terrorist attack, a hit on American personnel in another country. The exercise was a replication of what the MEK had done in killing Americans, attacking and killing Americans in Iran before the Iranian Revolution. And so that's who these guys are. And then, of course, what happened was they fell out of favor with the Ayatollah very quickly after the revolution of 79, and then they went and moved to Iraq, where they worked for Saddam Hussein, back when he was Ronald Reagan's friendly puppet, and then when he became Reagan's vice president, George H.W. Bush's deadly enemy. They continued to work for Saddam Hussein. When George H.W. Bush encouraged the Shiite and Kurdish uprising against Saddam Hussein after the war, and then left them high and dry, The Mujahideen-e-Khalq cult was used to help, I think, especially with the Kurds, to put down the rebellion. And there are quotes of Myron Rajavi, the cult leader, boasting about, bringing the rebels under tank treads and all this kind of stuff, working as Saddam Hussein's kind of special forces, massacring civilians. And then, of course, as everyone well knows, right, Iran was ready to turn over a bunch of al-Qaeda guys that they had captured, not that they were keeping as guests, that they had captured, including one of bin Laden's sons, and including this guy, Atef, whatever the crap, that ended up years later being traded back and was set free in Pakistan in exchange for an Iranian diplomat that had been kidnapped by al-Qaeda in Pakistan. But anyway, they had offered, we'll give up these al-Qaeda guys, we'll trade you for the MEK. But Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and George Bush decided that they would rather use the MEK, and the Israelis would rather use the MEK as assassins and terrorists and spies inside Iran. And they've been using them since then. In fact, there's a ton of great reporting about that, including some by my wife. Now, she never wrote attacks. She wrote, intelligence stuff was the stories that she had. But I think as early as 2004 or 2005... was writing about Dick Cheney outsourcing intelligence to the MEK cult. And then this isn't even disputed. I mean, this is just a widely accepted statement. Even I think the State Department refers to them as a front for Israeli intelligence. They've been the pets of the Israelis and the Americans at least since 2003. I don't know the origin of the relationship with the Israelis, but, Bush kept them at Camp Ashraf, and then they've been transferred to Camp Liberty in Iraq, and I guess that's where many of them have been kind of spread to the winds and have come, I guess, to the United States and Europe. But this cult, this kooky cult that used to work for the Ayatollah and then Saddam Hussein and then Dick Cheney and Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu, they've, since 2005, given these press conferences where they funnel, launder Israeli bogus, usually bogus intelligence, and claim to out Iran and their secret nuclear program. Well, I think their one big success is the Natanz facility, which David Albright claims that he beat them to it. I don't know whether he's an Israeli intelligence asset or not. Could be. But anyway, he claims, nuh-uh, I beat the MEK to that one, so they don't even get that one. And at the time, Natanz was just an empty hole in the ground. It was a giant underground Walmart with nothing in it. And so they weren't in violation of their safeguards agreement or anything else. They don't have to declare that until they're 6 months away from introducing nuclear material into the machines. So, yeah, busted, but busted was something that wasn't illegal and, was secret just for secrecy's sake, but wasn't a crime when they were doing it. Wasn't a part of any nuclear weapons program. But everything else that MEK has ever come up with that I know of has been a bunch of crap. And they had a thing a few years back where they said, yeah, there are these tunnels outside of Tehran, and deep buried in the tunnels is a secret parallel nuclear weapons program. And the State Department immediately debunked that. They said, no, American intelligence knows all about these tunnels, and whatever industrial work goes on in there has nothing to do with a nuclear program at all. Sorry, MEK says a lot of things, you know. That was the official statement of the U.S. government. Then they had a series of things in the Sunday Times, which is basically, Murdoch, New York Post for England. I don't know, Bell True writes for him, and I like her, but... But anyway, they had some stuff that they put in the Sunday Times where it's just nonsense. They're talking about having a sphere of uranium and just carving some grooves in it and then just laying some deck cord in those grooves. And then you just, light it and it's a nuclear bomb. Come on, man. You guys even double check with anybody before you put these things in the Sunday Times? I sent that one to Gordon Prather and he just laughed. Come on. This isn't even wrong. This is just like a kid made this up. And there are more than a handful. I should have done a little bit of research this morning. I'm sure there's the MEK's greatest hits, but they've gotten it wrong time after time after time. And I guess it's within the realm of possibility. You can't prove a negative. It's always been theoretical that somewhere there's a secret program in Iran that nobody knows about, where they have centrifuges spinning that nobody knows about, and they're stockpiling uranium that's been unmeasured and gone unnoticed as missing by the IAEA or something. There's a lot of boulders in Iran. Lift one, and that could be there somewhere. But that's all the war parties ever had, is a hypothetical that it's impossible to disprove. And there's never been a real shred of evidence of that at all. Nuclear weapons research they ever did has never even been said, really, to have been orchestrated. I mean, not by actual experts who talk about this stuff, even the hawkish ones, to have been a nuclear weapons program ordered by the government. It was, people in certain departments researching some aspects of nuclear weapons programs, but no coherent thing. And anyway, So now the big news is you have this leak from South African intelligence where in 2012, the Mossad is saying, yeah, no, they're not making nukes. Their plutonium is harmless unless they have a reprocessing facility, which they don't have to make it into, to make it pure enough that they could even machine a weapon. And that they agree, they use the same language as the CIA, that, they have not made a decision to begin to try to make nuclear weapons. And this is, of course, the same year when Netanyahu was at his loudest claiming the nuclear bomb threat. And, of course, Mossad really threw him under the bus in the spring of 2012 in Haaretz. But this is a nice little extra double confirmation of that. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.
All right, you guys. Man, I got too much news, and I'm taking too long to get to it all. Let me just say about the NCRI MEK press conference this morning, at least the Fox News version of it. They didn't prove anything. All they showed was a picture of a vault door that then they claimed came from this other picture of a circled, you know, area photograph of area where they go, well, this is where it is, and that was it. They didn't show, look, oh my God, we got pictures of spinning centrifuges or any centrifuges, installed centrifuges. No, they have a picture of a vault door. And then they have an aerial picture of something in Iran, which I'm sure is being debunked already, as we already know what that is, etc. I don't know yet. In fact, I meant to go and look at the State Department's Twitter because I'm sure they're getting a lot of questions about this. And in the past, at times, they've gone right ahead and debunked the MEK before. I've seen them do it. Say, well, you know, the MEK, they're great and everything, but, yeah. No. Okay, nothing on their Twitter feed anyway, I don't know. But we'll have Gareth Porter on to debunk that completely. By the way, tomorrow we're going to have on Alan Cooperman. You might remember him. He wrote a thing. I link to it from time to time here and there. It's in Boston.com. It's called A False Pretense for War with Libya. And, yes, of course, he didn't need a question mark on there, but headline writers, you know. And we interviewed him back then. There was no impending genocide in Benghazi. It was a lie. There was no impending genocide in Benghazi. Just because they tell you a thing doesn't mean that that's true. Oh, Gaddafi's going to murder every last man, woman, and child in that city, huh? And you believe that? Why? Because the Democrats said so? How in the world did the people of this country allow this to go on? For the life of me, I can't figure. But anyway, so Cooperman debunked it back then, and he's got a great new piece in Foreign Affairs that could be called, See, You Should Have Listened to Me Back Then. I don't know what's going on with that Gideon Rose, you know. He seems to publish some pretty critical pieces in Foreign Affairs sometimes. And maybe it's all just faction fights, and who knows. If he can use Cooperman to hurt Hillary, to help Jeb or whatever, maybe it's that. I don't know. But this is the guy, Gideon Rose, the editor of Foreign Affairs. That's the journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, the second oldest and most prestigious think tank in America. the center, the old foreign policy establishment. He was the guy who went on Colbert and bragged about the coup in Ukraine. Oh, yeah, the coup? Yeah, we're behind it. Ha, ha, ha. And then he turned around and he ran a John Mearsheimer piece saying, man, you really shouldn't have done that. So that's pretty good. And anyway, I read that article and it's good all the way to the last paragraph. Cooperman, he recommends, well, you know, some humanitarian wars might be good. I don't know why he even bothers throwing that in there. It's just such a deal killer. That might have been my first foreign affairs piece I ever ran on antiwar.com, but I almost did. But then the last paragraph, he says, well, you know, we probably should have invaded Rwanda. Pfft, whatever. But anyway, 99% of the article's great. I don't know if it's really 99 paragraphs. Probably less.
How about, you know, 70-something percent of the article is great, 80%. So I'm going to have him on tomorrow to talk about that, because the Libya war, man, it's important. And I'm still working on getting Kucinich. He said, hey, keep asking. I'll do it at some point. This story ain't going away and whatever. But now he doesn't answer me at all anymore. I don't know. But then I left him alone for a little while and then bothered him again. I don't know. Maybe the guy's just traveling. Maybe I'm using the wrong old email that he never checks. I don't know. But Kucinich played such an important role in that Washington Times series that I interviewed Kelly Riddell about, co-author of it. I still want to talk with him about that. But anyway, Cooperman, he'll be on the show tomorrow. Okay, and then, yeah, bottom line on the NCRI thing, they provided no evidence, and Gareth will be on soon to debunk it, probably next week. Okay. Now, so, where am I, man? The whole NCRI thing. I'm sorry I'm all over the place. The NCRI thing. Just go back to Netanyahu says, I will do everything I can to undermine this deal, to try to ruin this deal. He's willing to go to Congress and say, Congress, side with me, the leader of a foreign power, against the President of the United States who's currently seeking a peace deal. He's willing to do that. And he got all kind of pro-Israel partisans screaming their heads off that this is going to completely piss off a lot of Americans, and it's going to give them an entirely different view of Israel than they've had in the past. And it's going to, you know, these are all the reasons I want him to do it, because I think Obama's going to do the deal anyway. And I don't think the Congress will be able to stop him. And I think that I hate Benjamin Netanyahu. And anything he does to weaken his own position, or for that matter, the state of Israel's position in Washington, D.C., is to the betterment of the United States of America and the, you know, many people of many of our different war zones in the world, too. So it looks like it's too late for him to back down now for his own domestic politics reasons. So thank goodness for that. But I imagine it'll be very counterproductive. But that's where all this comes from. There's plenty of hype, too. They're saying the Saudis came out and told the Wall Street Journal, oh, no, if they get this deal, then we might have to make a nuclear weapons program of our own. Oh, shut up. You know, as though that's what Obama, Freudian slip there, as though that's what Obama is negotiating is, yeah, go ahead and make nuclear bombs if you want. And so now this program, which is going to have a lower stockpile of uranium than it's had in years, and which is going to be more inspected and more safeguarded than it's ever been before, even under the old additional protocol, this civilian nuclear program that never was a weapons program is now, after we get the deal, is going to be such a threat to the Saudis that they got to make a nuclear weapons program of their own, huh? Yeah, whatever. Keep coming up with lies, guys. I don't think it's going to work. I think Obama's going to do this only because it'll be the only thing he ever succeeded at in his miserable life other than getting elected. He's got to have something to brag about. You know, like when George Bush brought Gaddafi in from the cold and said that the war scared him into it before Obama stabbed him in the back and blew his country into a million pieces. Anyway, so the spy leaks. Go check out antiwar.com. Jason Ditz has a good overview of the spy leaks. First of all, there's the one about, yes, Mossad is sometimes honest, at least in private, and sometimes in Haaretz, about what Iran's nuclear program is really all about. And then this one about Palestine I didn't get to I'm getting to now, where Mahmoud Abbas tried to kill the Goldstone report on Operation Cast Lead because he, like the Israelis, feared it would strengthen Hamas's bargaining position if the truth was told about Israel slaughtering Gaza. Boy, is that going to have some repercussions for Abbas, I assume, in the West Bank. Pretty unreal there. That's kind of boring. And then, yeah. All right. So there's that. And I already read that one. They're still meeting, I guess. That's one of the stories, is that Kerry and Zarif are meeting bilaterally to work out the details. I guess everybody else is pretty much on board for whatever final details. And then, there was a new Snowden leak that apparently went straight to Haaretz without a Glenn Greenwald co-byline. Israeli intel cooperated with U.S. and Britain to surveil Iran leaders. New Snowden leak reveals. And that's at Haaretz by Amir Oren. And that came out on, I don't know, the 22nd. I'm not used to 15 being the year. That confused me for a second, all out of order. Come on, brain. On the 22nd, Israeli intel cooperated with U.S. and Britain to surveil Iran leaders. New Snowden leak reveals. So, I don't know if they're talking about by using MEK assassins on the ground and other spies on the ground there, or what all exactly they're referring to. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but you should know. And then one more thing on Palestine real quick. I think a lot of people just, they never heard of this. Don't have any idea of this. But it's just kind of a little bit of a taste of a way to begin understanding maybe the situation for the people in the Gaza Strip, especially, but in the West Bank too. But on second thought, no. Gaza students denied exit permits. And this is at 972 Mag. They're liberal Jews, Israeli Jews, who are against the occupation, is the spin of the people writing this. And it's about how these students can't even get a pass to go to the West Bank to go to school. They're prisoners. The people, the children even, of the Gaza Strip are prisoners. Forever. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here, and I'm so excited about Commodity Discs from CommodityDiscs.com. They're 1 ounce silver pieces with a QR code engraved on the backside. Scan the code with your phone and get the instant spot price. Commodity Discs are paving the way forward for the alternative currency community in America and around the world. The QR code Commodity Disc. Technology has now finally made a real free market silver currency viable. And anyone who donates $100 or more to the Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org/donate gets one free. That's CommodityDiscs.com.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. This just in. FedEx is refusing to ship a digital mill that makes untraceable guns. Yeah, good luck with that. Oh, this isn't a gun mill. This is, I don't know. It's a Cuisinart fruit juicer thing. Where do they know what's in the box? I mean, I guess if it's the company shipping it, you know, they gotta be... Oh. Yeah, this will be gotten around. Really hard to predict, am I right? All right, anyway, let me see here. Tons of news. I'm done with the Israel and Iran and Palestine section for today. That's good. Pentagon chief, U.S. considering slowing exit from Afghanistan. And then check out the spin on this is that I love the way they write this. It's like every article at AP is written by Bill Clinton or something. The United States is considering slowing its military exit from Afghanistan. That is, they're going to stay longer. By keeping a larger than planned troop presence this year and next. Because the new Afghan government is proving to be a more reliable partner, U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter said Saturday. And that's supposed to not be a joke, but something actual and real. You see, the Afghans are doing so good right now, we have to stay to help them. Even though we've been telling you that all we gotta do is make them good enough so we can leave. Alright, well, whatever. Hey, if it's a thing that some guy with a bunch of fancy jewelry on his shirt claims, then we all believe in it, right, Americans? Hey, that lying murderer just made a claim. You know, we should stay in the Afghan war. Isn't that what you guys all think too? Oh, we don't have a say in it anyway. Oh, okay, forget it. All right, let's see. Musa al-Gharbi. I'm going to have him on to have the same damn interview again. He wrote this thing. It's sort of the same damn article again. ISIL's barbaric acts are highly effective propaganda. In other words, the action is in the reaction. Same thing that I've been telling you in various formats since I read Will Griggs say so in 2001.
He said, look, with terrorism, the action is in the reaction. They're trying to get you to do things that serve them. Things that they cannot do for themselves. Like, make people like them. Or overthrow the beret-wearing, clean-shaven, chin-having secular fascist dictators in their region that used to be your best friends and allies, and still are in some cases. In most cases. That's what it's all about. Getting you to react. And so, Al Gharbi here in Al Jazeera, it's the spotlight today on antiwar.com, in fact. What he's saying is, listen, the reason they burnt the Jordanian pilot to death is because they're trying to provoke Jordan into invading. The more war the kingdom of Jordan fights against the Islamic State, the better the Islamic State figures. See, they're just like the American government. They know that there's no existential threat to us. They're not worried about getting taken out. They like having an enemy to fight. Same thing here. They're in a bit more precarious position than the USA, but same principle. They want Jordan to fight. They want Saudi and Qatar, to, even if in name only, to be part of the coalition against them. That's perfect. That just puts all of them on the same side as the Shia. And puts them on the same side as Iran. And puts them on the same side as the United States of America that came in here and caused so much death and destruction, especially in the predominantly Sunni regions of Iraq. And so, the more infidel he can get the local kings, the Baghdadi and his group can get the local kings to act, the better his position is for making a long-term, you know, long-term gains with the population of Jordan, with the population of Saudi Arabia. These guys want war. They want a big war. They want a long war. That's how they thrive. They're fighters. They're a militia trying to be a state. How do you get people to join up and with morale to fight? Well, get some explosions going off in their neighborhood and then see. And it can be counterproductive. I'm not saying this is absolutely foolproof. It's true that if Barack Obama dropped an H-bomb on Mosul, well, that would solve the ISIS in Mosul problem. But otherwise, you know, the biggest air campaign in the world and special forces campaign in the world seems very unlikely to be able to rouse these guys from the cities that they've taken. So, it's a hell of a thing. The best solution is, if they're trying to get you to overreact, the best thing you should do is act smart and deliberate and maybe underreact and maybe even do nothing. If your violence is what they need, at least think about it. That's ISIL's barbaric acts are highly effective propaganda by Musa Al Gharbi at Al Jazeera. America.aljazeera.com. It's the spotlight today on antiwar.com, I think, right? Yeah. And then there's ISIS to declare emirate in Lebanon. Now, I'm sure they cannot carve out an actual space anywhere in Lebanon, but could they start the civil war in Lebanon back up again? Why not? I know, at least in the past, I don't know exactly how it is all the time, but at least in the past, there have been, you know, contiguous areas between al-Nusra and ISIS-held Syria and Lebanon, and there have been some attacks inside Lebanon. And now, those people have been absolutely all the way through hell and back, and I don't know nearly enough about them, but I believe they gotta not want this. I mean, there are always going to be some whose interest is in fighting. But, you know, hopefully this can be stopped. But if nothing else, it still goes to show that the Islamic State is perfectly happy to bite off more than they can chew. They don't really care. Just spread the conflict. That's what's in their interest, is to spread the conflict. And so, you know, we should be careful and not contribute to, you know, their own gains, et cetera, et cetera. All right, now, I talked about that yesterday. All right, I guess that's it for my ISIS stuff today. other than, let me reemphasize that there's this Wall Street Journal thing, U.S. to give some Syria rebels ability to call airstrikes after training moderate rebels to get pickups with gear to call for American B-1B bombers. And at the same time, Obama is saying Syria's never going to be okay until Assad is gone. He's back on the regime change kick after seeming to back down from that position. They really have. I think Obama, really what he does is he just has variations on what he says, and he has no real Syria policy at all other than to muddle through. It's better than picking a side. You know, if he picks Assad's and the Shia and other religious minorities and the rich Sunni side against the Islamic State and their population, then he brings on absolute holy hell from all of our allies and especially the Israelis. And so he can't do that. And it seems like backing the Mujahideen, because that's what Israel and Turkey and Saudi want, has completely and totally blown up in his face now. And this is why Hegel left. Hegel said, we don't even have a Syria policy. I don't even know whose side we're on in Syria. I'm out of here before all this gets hung on me. Made it clear that was why he was leaving. Was because he was saying, Mr. President, what are we doing in Syria, man? We're just on both sides of this thing from now on, and we're just going to put off making any actual decisions beyond that because we could get in political trouble this way or that? Guess so. Oh, and then one more thing on the Islamic State here, and that is this story in McClatchy. Holder urges more data sharing to thwart would-be Islamic State recruits. In other words, they have not had a program the last 3-4 years to keep track of which Americans, or which Europeans with American, visas and whatever, have been to Turkey and then to Syria to go and fight with the rebellion. Because they've been the good guys, quote unquote, this whole time. So they have no idea who's there and who might be coming back.
Hey, y'all, Sky here. First, I want to take a second to thank all the show's listeners, sponsors, and supporters for helping make this show what it is. I literally couldn't do it without you. And now I want to tell you about the newest way to help support the show. Whenever you shop at Amazon.com, stop by ScottHorton.org first and just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page. That way the show will get a kickback from Amazon's end of the sale. It won't cost you an extra cent. And it's not just books. Amazon.com sells just about everything in the world except cars, I think. So whatever you need, they've got it. Just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page at ScottHorton.org or go to ScottHorton.org/Amazon.
All right, y'all, welcome back. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. And, I haven't read it yet, so I really shouldn't talk too much about it yet, but I want to let you know that there is a series right now in The Guardian by Spencer Ackerman, former friend of the show, I don't know. He does some good stuff. I should have him back on. I haven't talked to him in a while. Anyway, actually quite a while, now that I think about it. But anyway, he's got this series on torture in Chicago, and we already know about this, right? Like, one of these detectives, I think, was prosecuted and convicted for, of course, decades of torture before he finally got in any trouble for it. Just a year or two ago, right? This has kind of been a scandal. But, oh man, no, he's got a new one out today. I mean, the first one, I think, was about a torturer cop in Chicago who was sent down to Guantanamo to torture people and to teach torture to them. Wasn't all, the SEER training and copying the Nazis and the communists and Mao's little red torture book, taken from the North Koreans. They got a torturer cop from Chicago to go down to Guantanamo to torture people. Again, he tortured people. And then I don't know what the second one was. I don't even think I saw what the second one was in the series. And then I think it's the third one today in the series. The disappeared. Chicago police detain Americans at abuse-laden black site. Now, it's sort of a double entendre and a pun and whatever, because I think we can all be certain it's mostly blacks who are taken here and tortured. But that's not what they mean. By black site, they mean no pretense. No pretense of law. You're under Article 2 rules now. Grab whom you must, do what you want. And so at least one guy was murdered here. Protester details being shackled for 17 hours. That's the headline at the top. Keeping arrestees out of official booking databases, beatings by police resulting in head wounds, shackling for prolonged periods, denying attorneys access to the so-called secure facility, holding people without legal counsel for between 12 and 24 hours, including people as young as 15 years old. One man was found unresponsive in a Homan Square interview room and was later pronounced dead. And anyway, like I said, I haven't read the whole thing, but you should know about it. It's a big three-part series here about the lawless torturers known as the local security force, here to protect you and serve you in the American democracy and protect your rights in case you're ever accused of a crime. Yeah, that's what they are. These are the people in your neighborhood, just like the little puppet on Sesame Street. Spencer Ackerman in The Guardian. See if maybe we can make a show out of that if I can ever get around to reading it all. All right, and now speaking of cops. Cops chain innocent man to the wall, beat him, gouge his eyes out after refusing to confess. What was the crime? He supposedly had killed his own baby son. So, if you were a cop, you'd want to bash his head in too, right? Except that the jury decided that he didn't do it. I don't know whether he did it or not. But the jury decided that they didn't believe so beyond any reasonable doubt and acquitted him of it. But meanwhile, they chained him to the wall, beat the crap out of him, and included gouging his eyes. Apparently, they did not quite pop out, but I don't know the full extent of the damage to the man's eyes. Thank God he didn't lose them. And there's video. Go look at the Free Thought Project. It's madness, but there you go. Police also at the Free Thought Project, freethoughtproject.com. Police admit fault for beating and kidnapping man with Down syndrome, but still, of course, refuse to apologize. Mental 7-year-old child, and they just, hey, you, and then beat the crap out of him for walking down the street. That was all. I know you're saying, hey, just because someone has Down syndrome doesn't mean that they can't act wrong, commit a crime, do something wrong. Yeah, but no, he didn't. He was just walking down the street, and the monsters, well, the thugs, the brutes, assaulted him. That's all. From Vice.com, Texas private prison, and that should go sort of in, I don't know, can you do like one ironic quote? Private prison, they mean fascist, not free market in any sense. Texas private prison left uninhabitable after immigrant detainees riot over poor conditions. That's right, these people are held in Gaza-style concentration camps simply for being migrants, not for committing crimes. They're all low-level, whatever, whatever. But hey, anyway, this is going away, going on a few miles outside of your town, and so you don't have to think about it too much. But they're treated like the lowest of felons, who don't even really deserve to be treated this way. And in this case, they rioted, and they set all their big tents on fire, and they've had to close down the whole damn prison and ship them off. This is one of those things where if we weren't at war all the time and we could finally like take a week off to get our own house in order a little bit here, we might focus on things like how we treat migrant prisoners in our concentration camps. You know, possibly. I'm just saying. Cops who fist bumped after firing 80 rounds into mentally ill man are cleared of any wrongdoing. That's also at the Free Thought Project. Jose Garza, remember that one from Laredo last year? And he was not a threat. They just unloaded on him. I forget now. Was it a pellet gun? It was. It was a pellet gun he had just purchased from Walmart. And the local security guard said he could tell. He knew. He was cool with it. The cops came, and he had crashed out on the couch. There was a couch out in front of this Quickie Mart. And so the local security guard was there, and he knew it was just a BB gun. The cops showed up and killed him anyway. They didn't even take a moment to ask questions to figure out what's going on. I forget all the details because it's been a year. I'm just scanning over it now. But, yeah, here they kill him. Cops can kill whoever they want. That's the law. They can kill whoever they want. And this guy, he was some scumbag. He didn't pay taxes. Right? Like in that show, The Wire. Hey, don't you, why are you messing with this taxpayer? Those are the people that matter, not you. Well, this guy was some half a, you know, barely vermin kind of human, not with real full human rights. He may have been white. Oh, no, Garza. So there he's Hispanic, too. Oh, that's almost black. No rights for you. Cops show up, blast him. And then laugh and fist bump and brag after. Here's one at RT. Cops tasing an old man who gets out of the car with his hands up. They tase him anyway. Washington Post footage of the cops killing a teenager running away with his back to them. Of course, there's the one up in Pashco, Washington, hands up. In America today, teachers, cops, judges, and other so-called public servants make far more than the average taxpayer. And their pensions? Well, if the people knew, they'd join us. That's where you come in. Taxpayers United of America is embarking on a great new project to train activists how to take on the parasites in your communities. The entire process, from prying loose the facts to disseminating the truth to the people. The first of these great workshops is in Orlando, Saturday, March 7th. It's just $25. For more information, go to taxpayersunited.org/govpensions.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop. Which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. As always, I ran out of time to talk about all the important things to discuss on the show. Have a whole section of high-tech police state stuff. New Snowden revelations, etc., etc. So we'll have some more of that on the show for you tomorrow. And also, I'm trying to get somebody from this MuslimMatters.org. They had this great thing. What is Islamic? A Muslim response to ISIS and the Atlantic. There's this controversial Atlantic article about Islam and ISIS and whatever. Anyway, so this is a great refutation. I want to talk with them about that. So that's probably coming up later on in the week. But right now, we go to Jared LaBelle from Taxpayers United of America. That's taxpayersunited.org. And they are new sponsors of this show. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, Jared?
Hey, I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Very happy to have you here and very happy to have your support for what I'm trying to do here. And
absolutely. You do great work. So, and I encourage all the listeners to also support your show.
Well, that's very kind of you. But anyways, you know, I was out of the room for a minute. I'm not sure if the ad has played yet on the show today or not.
Okay.
Maybe we'll get to hear it in the first, you know, break during the interview here. I'm not sure. But anyway, there's a new ad, and I've been trying to talk about it a little bit. And that's for this great project that you guys are doing, which is, of course, there's no conflict of interest whatsoever. It's exactly the kind of thing that I believe in and would like to do if I had, you know, clones, like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer has all the clones doing his work for him. So I would, this is exactly what I would do, is help you with this awesome thing that you're doing. So tell them all about this awesome new project that you guys have going there at taxpayersunited.org.
Well, right on. Well, yeah, absolutely. We're starting a workshop seminar series. We'll be visiting nearly a dozen states and hopefully more towards the end of the year. But our goal is to train activists across the country on what we've been doing for a while. Taxpayers United was founded 40 years ago next year, so we'll be celebrating a big anniversary. And basically, you know, you've talked on the show about how, you know, Ron Paul's run for the presidency was basically just big speaking tours on behalf of liberty. And in the process, he has been able to engage people to join the process, and that's really been the most important part of what he's done. And so I'm not comparing us at all to Dr. Paul. But in that sense, our goal is to teach taxpayers and activists on the methods we use for FOIA requests to find out how much exactly are these government, well, I was going to use a few other words, but government employees, how much are they stealing from taxpayers? And the numbers are absolutely staggering across the board. It is the number one budget issue facing every city, county, and state in America.
All right, well, so elaborate about that. Tell me some scare stories and some anecdotes and things to illustrate your point, if you could.
Sure, sure. Well, nationally, unfunded government pension liabilities exceed $4 trillion. That's one-fifth of the U.S. gross national product. In Illinois, more than 11,000 people receive six-figure pensions from the state. That's annually. So that's at the low estimate, over $1 billion annually. And then another 78,000 state pensioners receive more than $50,000 a year. So we're looking at billions and billions of dollars in unfunded liabilities. But a lot of times you start giving numbers like that and people's eyes glaze over and it's not very tangible. But what we do is we help release the individual pension payments so you can see a list of people in your community, police, fire, municipal workers, government teachers, and you can see that, you know, your kid's high school teacher retired at 56, paid $150,000 or so into their pension fund, and the first year of their annual pension will almost recoup all of those costs with $128,000. So these people, this individual in particular, would make roughly $4 million in their lifetime over their pension benefits.
Amazing. Well, you know, especially right now when, you know, they say this is the recovery. The next crash is coming, I guess, soon enough because this is as good as it gets, I guess, in the economy now. But it sucks. And unemployment is high and underemployment is high and people are really hurting. And everywhere is the complaint about income inequality. And it's easy, obviously. I'm somewhat sympathetic in some circumstances anyway about how much money some of these CEOs are making while people who work for their companies are making so much less or whatever like that.
Sure.
But then here you got the government employees who are not, you know, running successful businesses by any stretch. They're just the local public servants, and they're doing way better than the rest of us, their neighbors, and at our expense. As you say, they pay in $150,000. They get almost all of that back in their first year of retirement, yep. And all the rest of us are on the hook for the rest of that. Talk about income inequality. Make any of these people work in the free market and see how much their wages and pensions would be. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and then how much better would the rest of us be off if we didn't have to, you know, carry them on our back the whole time?
Well, I mean, you know, look at that breaking story out of where I am. I'm in Chicago. The breaking story of the police and their apparent domestic torture dungeon in the west side of the city.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And, you know, the top 1,000 Chicago police pensioners take in nearly $90 million from taxpayers annually. And that's only the top 1,000. And we're only talking about Chicago. So, I mean, just to really bring that home, I mean, Illinois itself is number one in unfunded pension liabilities. So, it is absolutely insane, and the numbers are staggering. And sometimes you have to, you know, just kind of wipe your eyes and look again and say, is that really correct? How is this possible? Well, when has it ever been a good idea to put large sums of money in the hands of politicians and bureaucrats? Well, the verdict is in. It's 2015, and John Maynard Keynes was wrong. And so this has to be reversed. And so that's really the goal of our pension project is to we're going to introduce a little bit of our history, but it's really going to be focused on teaching the activists how to get into the nitty gritty of it all and being able to put in the FOIA requests like the heroic Jason Leopold. That guy is just wow. You know, it is a hard process, and it's getting more difficult. States across the country are starting to hold back on some of the information that they're giving, and it's not due to any recent legislation. They're just making internal decisions that we're going to stop giving certain data points, and it's trying to stop the effective work that that we've done. And really, we're one of the only organizations who have ever attempted something this large, and so we're very excited about the possibility of bringing more people in. And kind of paraphrasing Albert J. Nock, you know, improving society by presenting it with one improved unit. So if we can get one more activist who gets fired up about this, it'll be for the better.
Yeah, absolutely. And just think, everybody, about all the scandals out there. You got, what, 200,000-300,000 different little political jurisdictions of one description or another all over this country. There are so many of these government job holders, as I guess Mencken called them, out there with the corruption of their wages and their pensions, et cetera, just waiting to be discovered and turned into the local scandal until something's done about it. And I mean, this could really be a thing where you just have maybe even scandal after scandal cascading on each other and really make a national news story out of this. Because it's pretty much a guarantee, isn't it, Jer, that anywhere you go and FOIA these guys, you're going to have something worth printing in the paper once you get those papers back.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a scandal per suit here.
I mean, yeah, again, the numbers are just staggering, and it is an unsustainable system. And like you were saying about, having some sympathy for people, I mean, we are not trying to demonize government teachers and cops. I mean, to one degree or another. But, these individual people, it's not their fault. They're part of a system that, for better or worse, they're found a job and they're carrying out their job. But when you look at it at the end of the day, it's the system itself that needs to be changed, and that's why we need to focus on these individual payments and really get those lists of the thousands and thousands of people in every community and county and state, and you start just looking at the numbers and adding it up, and it cannot continue.
All right, hold it right there. We'll be right back and talk more about the upcoming series of workshops all across the country being put on by Taxpayers United for America at taxpayersunited.org. Oh, John Kerry's Mideast peace talks have gone nowhere. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. U.S. military and financial support for Israel's permanent occupations of the West Bank and Gaza Strip is immoral, and it threatens national security by helping generate terrorist attacks against our country. And face it, it's bad for Israel, too. Without our unlimited support, they would have much more incentive to reach a lasting peace with their neighbors. It's past time for us to make our government stop making matters worse. Help support CNI at councilforthenationalinterest.org. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. If this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Robertson Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co.
All right, you guys. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. I got Jared LaBelle on the line. He represents this group, Taxpayers United of America, taxpayersunited.org. And we're talking about this series of workshops that they're putting on. I believe it's just $25 to attend. Am I right, Jared?
Yes, that's correct.
Just $25. And what they're going to do, they're going to a bunch of states, and I'll let him explain the details. But what it is they're going to teach you how to file the Freedom of Information Act requests to get all the data about your local civil servants' pension plans, etc., and then also great advice on how to get it out there, how to do a good press conference, how to get the local paper and the local TV stations talking about it, etc., like that. And I just think it's great, and I can see a future where this kind of takes off. I'm repeating myself now, I guess, about the cascading sort of effect. If this is a pretty major news story in a lot of major cities, then it becomes a national news story and maybe even the possibility of some real reform as a result, that kind of thing. I know that's what you're working on. It sounds like a great idea to me, and not just because you're bribing me to say that. So tell them all about how they can participate, when and where, and et cetera like that.
Absolutely. Well, our first pension workshop for this round will be Saturday, March 7th. It'll be from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. That'll be in Orlando, Florida, at the Sheraton Suites, Orlando Airport. You can find out a little bit more information and the exact address on our website. We have a landing page at taxpayersunited.org/govpensions, G-O-V pensions. It's going to be great. Right now, we already have lined up following that. The 21st of March will be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and April 11th will be in Las Vegas, Nevada. So we'll have the entire list up momentarily with the Eventbrite pages and everything, but it'll be $25 total. That also includes a catered lunch, which is really most of that cost. This entire program is fully funded, and we are looking to get people active in their local communities. And the most important thing is working through the beginning of the process of how do you even file a Freedom of Information Act request? Because they make it, of course, as complicated as possible, being a government process. You have to find the right fund to contact, the right officer for each fund. Your draft request has to be very, very particularly worded. Otherwise, they can deny your Freedom of Information Act request. So that is the major part. And then following that, we'll be analyzing the data, showing people exactly how we calculate the pensions, especially for some states who have secrecy laws that hide some of our data points that we need. So we have to be able to estimate sometimes and calculate their lifetime payouts and the percentage of employee contributions. But as the example I gave, you know, earlier, a lot of times these people are in their first year of retirement, they are getting all of the money that they put back in, that they put into the system right back to them. So it's it is absolutely insane. And so with that, once you start seeing those numbers, our goal is to show activists as well how to garner media attention and how to you have to work with the press. And they're in the same boat as everyone else. They're taxpayers. And, you know, it really does cut across, I think, ideological lines. People may in one way or another, you know, go right or go left. But, you know, you have to take a good libertarian organization such as ours to say, hey, man, look at this. This is a bigger problem that affects all of us. What are we going to do about it?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, people, they always say, and it's amazing now that it's actually 18, you know, the national debt's $18 trillion. But then you always have, you know, kind of outlier economists saying, actually, you know, you want to take into account some more of these government debts across the country besides just the national debt. We're actually looking at tens of trillions of dollars worth of unfunded liabilities here. I guess it depends whether you take in all mortgage and credit card debt and whatever, but still, even just the government debt, it's so outrageous. You know, I don't know. Anyway, I forgot what I was going to say. It was going to be great, though. I'll ask you again. What's the date for Orlando?
Orlando will be Saturday, March 7th.
Saturday, the 7th of March. Okay, good.
In the Sheraton Suites Orlando Airport. And, again, we'll have we have a nice little promotional set page at taxpayersunited.org/govpensions. Mm-hmm. And we'll have that updated with the full list of states we'll be visiting. And we hope we'll be visiting quite a few more in the second half of the year. We'd love to make it back down to Texas. It's been too long, my home state. And, you know, and in Texas in particular, just I looked up a few crazy facts. And the one that really stood out was the state's second largest employee retirement fund hasn't been properly funded by the Texas legislature for 19 of the past 20 years.
Really?
Yeah.
So they just have some kind of emergency appropriation thing that kicks in automatically kind of thing rather than actually passing an appropriation?
I'm not sure on all of the details, but they definitely are behind on the schedule. And they're not even Texas itself isn't even the worst on the list. Illinois is by far number one for this unfunded liability issue. But yeah, I mean, you know, these numbers still aren't anything to joke around with. You know, a $7.5 billion shortfall is still – that's quite a lot of money.
Yeah, indeed. All right. And then tell us more about the secrecy laws. Like you were saying, that this is really difficult to get around sometimes when you're filing these FOIA requests. I mean, don't give away the whole show.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, you know, even recently, localities in Illinois are refusing to give out the ages of pensioners when they retired. So that's a very crucial data point for us to help calculate some of their payouts over a lifetime. And we use cost of living adjustments based on IRS data to do so. And then they're doing other things as well, where they're increasing fees for FOIA requests, sometimes where nothing. They cost absolutely nothing to file a request. Now they're increasing the fees to, you know, $10-$20 and much more than that, and then extending the amount of time that they have to respond to you. So they'll charge you money, then take longer to respond to you, and then deny you your claim, and you'll have to file again. And so for activists especially who are, you know, hard workers and don't have a lot of extra cash laying around, that is a huge stumbling block for trying to get this information out. Mm-hmm.
And now, so when it comes to doing these seminars, are you working with other libertarian groups? And I'm thinking particularly the young, like Young Americans for Liberty and Students for Liberty and that kind of thing. To, you know,
that's funny you say that. We've actually, we are reaching out to both YAL and Students for Liberty. We're also reaching out with a couple other national groups as well as their local affiliates and any other taxpayer groups, activist groups in these localities. So we're hoping that everyone will come in and join us and we'll have a great time.
Yep, sounds good. Okay, and again, that is in Orlando, Florida, at the Airport Sheraton, Saturday, March the 7th, will be the first one. And the website is, and I'll be running updated spots about all the coming events as they go on across the country here. But the website is taxpayersunited.org/govpensions. taxpayersunited.org/govpensions. And I do hope people will participate in this. I do hope you'll come to Texas, and then I can participate too. Because it sounds like a good project. And
absolutely.
So, you know, thanks again for everything, for sponsoring the show and for coming on today and for this great work.
Yeah, well, absolutely. We're very glad to be able to sponsor the show. You do tremendous work. And, you know, your show is the best around, I'm going to say it. And so I'm going to reach out to the listeners right now and say, hey, guys, besides helping us out, you also need to support Scott Horton.
All right.
So
really
appreciate it. And
that's very kind of
glad to talk to you again in the future.
I appreciate it very much, Jared.
Absolutely.
All right, you guys. That's Jared LaBelle, taxpayersunited.org/govpensions. taxpayersunited.org/govpensions. I feel a tax revolt coming on. Come on. All right. And that's it for the show. I'm glad we quit a little bit early there because then that gives me a chance to remind you to please come out tonight to liberty.me. It's just $5 a month. You get the first month or two free, I guess, if you sign up. Find the link at scotthorton.org in the right margin there, and or use the promo code Scott, and you get $1 off, and it's just $4 a month. And it's like a private libertarian Facebook kind of thing. Well, no more private than Facebook, but no ads. That's why it costs $4. No ads. It's great. It's liberty.me. And tonight, me and Jeff Tucker starting our brand new show. It's called Eye on the Empire. Tonight at 9 Eastern Time at liberty.me, me and the great Jeff Tucker, it's our premiere episode. So please show up and help support. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Oh, I still got 10 seconds. Thanks very much for listening.